It's 7-Eleven right now, and there'll be a theme to that a little bit later today. I'm not talking about the convenience store, but one of our presidential candidates mentioned the numbers 7 and 11. That'll be a little later in our show. It'll make you chuckle just maybe a little bit and also scratch your head. We've got 47 degrees out at the airport right now, and this was a bit of a surprise this morning because when I went to bed last night, it was warm. I mean, it wasn't hot, but it was warm. And then all of a sudden, you know, someone hit the switch overnight. I mean, it was warm enough that you're thinking, like, well, I want to get the ceiling fan going, maybe fire it up just a little bit more for some airflow. And then this morning, I'm slamming windows shut because, you know, we've got like a 20-mile-an-hour wind out there and a wind chill of 41 at the airport. What happened overnight? It went from 70 degrees to 47. Yikes. Traffic is looking A-okay today, so no reason to get, you know, anxious over the commute, at least not yet. What about anxiety in general? You know, a lot of people suffer from anxiety, and there's the little things that come up, and no matter whether you've been diagnosed with an anxiety issue, you know, things can make you anxious. But having general anxiety, or generalized, rather, anxiety all the time, is this what when people say you overthink everything, you can't turn your brain off, you can't shut things down and take a breather? You think it out. Everything. You overthink it. You've heard that phrase. Is it really true? Let's visit this morning with our good friend, Dr. John Braccio, Dr. John B., a regional psychological services in East Lansing. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. And I will tell you, yes, there are many people, millions actually, in the country that they what-if everything. They're the what-ifers of life. Mm. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And often they lead a torturous life and they're really not able to function effectively. And it's such a common thing that we tend to underestimate the problems it causes for so many people. And these are people that worry about what's the weather going to be like tomorrow, like you even noticed on my head. You were worrying about it, but anyway, about finances, about health, about relationships, about
now, doc, do note that I wasn't worried about the weather. I was just noting that it went from one thing to the other, and I said, "What the heck happened?" As opposed to "What if?" I'm okay. Well, whatever happens with the weather, I got no control over that.
Well, listen, I agree, but there are those I'm sure that have been thinking about when's this going to change, what's going to happen.
Okay,
and then we have what's the weather going to be like even for the barbecue in a week and a half from now? Or a number of people, yeah. What if I die today? What's going on? I know it sounds funny, but there are so many things that people worry about. It's almost like part of the obsessive-compulsive behavior family. So when you talk to someone who's always in that Hamlet-type thing, you know, what if and what am I going to do, just be aware there it is a condition, and it can lead to a lot of problems. It can lead to problems with sleeping. You can be fatigue, irritability, muscle tension, trembling, you know, easily startled, I mean, trouble sleeping, just sweating. So many things that can come from just what-ifing. And I'll just give you one other funny one. It's from I remember many years ago, it was a thing over at Catholic Central. It was a fundraiser, and a woman made the comment about parenting and made the comment that it's like the mother who the daughter is away to school and call a Friday night, and the daughter answers the phone. And then after they hang up, the mother says, geez, maybe is my daughter not popular? No one likes her. No one wants her to be there, be with them, and there she is all alone. And then the next Friday calls, and the daughter isn't there. What's happened? What's going wrong with my daughter? Isn't she studying? Is she partying all the time? And showing, again, if you what if, you can what if anything.
Everything.
Anything. So I really do feel if you've known people, I've known people like this. I've had actually many of them in my own family. And one of the things that parents, if you want to have something to what if about, if you are modeling this type of behavior to your children or to friends, watch out. It seems to be catchable. It seems that people that are what-ifing have children that are what-ifing and have grandchildren that are what-ifing. And I don't want to say always, but beware. Now, there obviously could be some type of a chemical inclination to worrying, but ultimately it is because a thinking person's disease is called.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead. And you differentiate this, don't you, Doc, from, you know, people have a severe anxiety disorder about certain, you know, certain things where they can't, you know, they just can't. I mean, that's different than this, isn't it?
It's very different. Like, you can have what's called an adjustment disorder where you worry about a very specific thing, like if there are going to be layoffs on the job in the next 3-4 months. Now, that's a legitimate worry to be worrying about. What am I going to do? Where am I going to lose my job? Or am I going to be drafted if in certain countries or wherever it might be? So there are some things that are very legitimate to worry about. But even there, you may get to the point that you can't function. But that's those are more issue specific and things we can look at. But when we start looking at the person who, what ifs everything, like where should I go? What if I go to Meijer, go to Kroger, go to Walmart, go to the IG? What happens if I go to one or the other? If they don't have this, maybe they won't have this. I wonder if I'll run into someone I don't want to see. And on and on and on, what ifers, and I see them often in my office. It's a pretty common condition, more than you ever might think.
You can't hit the off switch is what you're saying there. It's hard.
They can't do the off button, if you will, but they also have the problem of they think this is the way it ought to be. So when that off switch for most people would just go off, they can't do that because their what-ifing becomes an ingrained part of their personality. So they have to what if this happens.
So I know that there's somebody listening right now here who's saying, yeah, that's me, and probably more than one. So what do you – I mean, you know, you got maybe – there's people who turn to meditation. There's some who turn to medication or they self-medicate. Some people would look at their religion. I mean, you know, the Bible says be not afraid. Maybe they would take some solace in that. But, you know, what do you recommend for these people? It's got to be difficult.
Well, a couple things. I also would add to that thought stopping where you make a definite effort – to when one of the what-ifing thoughts comes in, and assuming it's not something really important, that becomes the key of what is really important. But anyway, if something just comes in, well, what if my car doesn't start tomorrow, for a simple one? That's when you have to just say, you know, I'm not going to deal with this now, and if that does happen, I'll find a way anyway to get around. I mean, that type thing. You kind of say, even if something occurs, everything is going to work out. So you're talking about thought stopping. And then you get into cognitive restructuring where you're talking about replacing a negative thought with a positive thought. Like, I think someone's going to be mean to me at work tomorrow, and just say, no, tomorrow's going to be a regular day. And if someone else is having a hard day, I'm not going to have them, you know, negatively impact on my day. So you try to replace a negative with a positive. Also, there are times medications can be helpful. Xanax can be helpful, Lexapro. There are medications that can help also, but medication is not the answer. Medication can be helpful, but ultimately, this is called the thinking person's disease, if you will. There are a lot of common names given for this, but the main things I find, learning how to relax, breathing in, breathing out, trying to, and then even counting sheep, if you were counting just numbers, breathing in, breathing out, because that actually can be helpful to take your mind off something, because you can't be thinking about two, three things at the same time. So you want to deal with relaxation. I do a lot of hypnosis. In fact, our website, we actually have it no cost. Someone can just download or listen to our hypnosis CD on relaxation. It's a California one that I did some period of time ago, but it's something that can help you relax. Doing visualization, doing things that are relaxing, and even in your own mind, visualizing places you've been, things you've done. Like this weekend, you might have gone to the lake, you might have been out riding your bike, you might have been out walking in this beautiful weekend. Those are the memories to bring back, and don't have the negative thoughts coming in and controlling you, because it sounds simple, Dave, but if you have this generalized anxiety and you're worrying about everything, it can make for a very miserable and difficult life for you and everyone around you.
Yeah, it sounds very, very debilitating. I remember my mom would quote the 40s song, and she would say, okay, never mind counting sheep, count your blessings. And use positive, you know, she think of positive things. If you're having trouble going to sleep, you're worried about something. You know, I tend to find humor even where I probably shouldn't. When I remember with my son was little, he would talk, those movies were coming out about, you know, Armageddon and these, you know, the people trying to stop the asteroids from hitting the Earth. And he said, well, what if one hits the Earth? And I said, the likelihood is really small. He goes, but what if one does? I said, you're not going to have to worry about the math test that you've been talking about on Thursday. It's not going to matter. We see there's a positive benefit. I kid it with him. But I said, that's not something you should be taking your time worrying too much about. You know, it's if you don't have it, it seems almost fanciful. And if you do, I could see how this could be just all consuming. So it's something definitely definitely to ponder here. And you offer some really good insight the other direction. Dr. John B., Dr. John Braccio, our guest here. The podcast will be up soon at drjohnb.com, Regional Psychological Services, NEL. Always good to talk to you, my friend, and thinking about the nice weekend that we just had is a good way to fixate here as we go forward.
That sounds good, my friend. And listen, you have a day, and don't worry, which you're not, by the way, but it's still a good thing not to be doing.
Hey, you know, I'll find something to worry about here, but it'll definitely be tangible here during the show, and it always is, as you know. Take care. More ahead on the Morning Wake Up. This is 1320 WILF.